Today we're going to continue our little study through Mark, and we're going to talk about servants and the principles that Jesus lays out to be a servant in his kingdom. And we haven't changed our momentum. I mean, here it is Christmas, and some people might want to wonder, Pastor Larry, why don't you talk about that? Come Wednesday night. Wednesday night we talked about Bethlehem. And this Wednesday night, we're going to talk about the shepherds. Why in the world did God announce to the shepherds, of all the people in the land, why shepherds? I hope that intrigues you a little bit. Watch online or show up on Wednesday night. It's been very good. But here's the deal. Christmas changes everything. The birth of Jesus changes everything. It's the mountain peak of history. And the second part of will be his second coming. Amen? His second coming. Christmas is where it all changes. Christmas is the time when we stop and give. Don't you just love to give? I mean, you know, the Bible does say it's more blessed to give than to receive. And when you're little, you don't really fully understand that, but the more mature you get, I'll put it that way, the more you realize that it is a blessing to put a smile on somebody's face. It's a blessing to share with other people. And Christmas is when Jesus arrived and he starts a new story about what greatness and kindness and love is all about. Christmas is about God serving his creation. Serving you, serving us as the body of church, the body of Christ. And what God was doing is this. He was fulfilling a revelation that he began in the Old Testament that was incomplete. And Jesus makes this statement, I've come to fulfill the law. Not to do away with it. Not to cancel it out. I mean, you know, the Ten Commandments are still good. Not to do, but to fulfill it, to bring it to completion. That's what he came to do. And you, when you look at Jesus' life, you realize he devoted it to serving you. And he asked us to do the same thing. He asked us to pick up the cross and follow him. In other words, follow the example that Jesus did. You know, sometimes it's a joy to serve people. And sometimes the people you serve make it very hard to serve them. You ever experience that? Listen, you will experience that. But listen, don't stop serving. Some of you have made it very difficult for Jesus to serve you. But he didn't stop. He kept knocking. He kept pursuing. He kept coming after. He knew what you needed, and you had to open up and embrace and receive. And sometimes it is difficult to receive what God wants to do in your life and receive from others that God has placed in your life. You see, when you join God's team, you start playing by different rules. The world plays by a set of rules. And it's normally orchestrated by a couple of things. Number one, your flesh. And your flesh is all about me, myself, and I. My own pleasure, my own benefit, me. And the world's benefits are all centered around themselves, their own pleasure, their own likes, their own... But when you come to Christ, your life gets reoriented around others. Around God. And it changes your perspective. It changes your purpose. Here's what they've discovered. People who want happiness walk around depressed. People who discover purpose walk around energized and happy. You and I need to tap into the purpose by which we've been created. And when you tap into that purpose for which you've been created, you know you're going to have valleys. You know you're going to have obstacles. You know you're going to have struggles. But listen, the end product is when you discover your purpose, you know your life will glorify Him. Help us, Lord. So we reorient our lives around serving others. Not for our own gratification, not for our own, even though in the process, when we lose our life, we find it. When we pick up a cross and follow Him, we find the joy of serving Him and serving others. So God has called us to live different. To live different. Because here's what I know. The world right now, philosophy is built on a lot of theories and myths. And when you build your life, when you build your social structure, when you build your governmental structure on theories and myths, you can expect rubble. But if you'll build your life on the rock, the storms will come, and you'll still be there, because His strength is sufficient. Amen? Help us, Lord. So, the principles of the kingdom are contrary to the principles of the world. The principles of the kingdom are contrary to the appetites of the flesh. So Jesus is trying to help His disciples get reoriented to His kingdom. So he lives with them for 3.5 years or more. Day in and day out. There He is, watching, living before them, eating before them, laughing with them. And at them. How many know Jesus has a sense of humor? If you don't believe me, just look at the person next to you. He has a sense of humor. And we need to laugh a little. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus says this, John sees somebody doing ministry for Jesus. Look what he says. John said unto him, Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name. And we tried to stop him because he was not following us. But Jesus said in him, do not stop him, because one who does a miracle in my name will be able soon afterward to say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. For I tell you the truth, whoever gives you a cup of water because you bear Christ's name will never lose His reward. If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a huge millstone tied around his neck and be thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than to have two hands and go into hell, to the unquenchable fire. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. Lord, speak to us today. Help us to communicate. Help us to hear. Help us, Lord, to be pliable in your hands through the work of your Holy Spirit. Minister to us through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. John comes across this guy who's doing ministry in the name of Jesus, and he doesn't like it. I mean, after all, the disciples had been given authority from Jesus. Here's a guy being all his own, out there doing things apparently that he saw Jesus do, out there apart from the disciples who had been given authority, apart from the disciples who had invested their whole life traveling with Jesus, apart from that, and he's doing it, and the disciples, and I don't think John was by himself, the disciples are all upset that he's out there doing this. Now, I don't know if they're trying to protect themselves, that's kind of my hunch, or they're trying to protect Jesus, but the fact of the matter is Jesus has to correct them. Has Jesus ever had to correct you? I mean, right now, Jesus is having to work overtime correcting the disciples. You know, he corrects Peter, and then he corrects him again, and then he corrects the other disciples. Now he's doing it again. I mean, there's a lot of correction going on. And you know, the Lord corrects those whom he loves. He disciplines those whom he loves. And my heart attitude toward the whole thing about correction, Lord, if I need it, do it. The problem is sometimes God sends correction through people I don't want to receive it from. And that becomes the real test, because sometimes it's an elder and it's easy. It's easy to receive correction from someone who has stood the test and been faithful and done the right thing and been the right person. But then you receive correction from that slacker. It's kind of hard to swallow. And then lo and behold, here comes this little child that has a word for you, and only you don't want to receive it from a child. But how many of you know children can teach you some things? Correction. The important part is what? Having your heart open to what God needs to do inside of you. Because we all need to be corrected. Amen. The thing about we can trust is this: God corrects in love. Some of my friends don't always. So here it is. John tries to stop him from doing ministry. He just doesn't like it. Notice what John says and what he saw. We saw. We tried to stop him. He was not following us. You know, sometimes we wanna break the thing down to us and them. Now, there is a war going on between the righteous and the unrighteous, between God and evil, between Jesus and Satan. Do you understand that? There's only two sides of the battle. And sometimes it's not always easy to discern the enemy's work. Because the scripture says he masquerades as the angel of light. That's why you need to know the truth. Because the truth will help you discern right from wrong, truth from error. So we have to understand it. So here, us in this, listen to me. There's something powerful about the church gathering. And I think God likes variety. I always get this person, you know, they always want to say, well, you know, I just don't like there's so many churches, different places, different things. They just can't agree on anything. Okay, that's okay with me. Because apparently it's okay with God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not a vanilla ice cream kind of guy. When I go in there, sir, sometimes I want mint, chocolate chip mint. And there's sometimes I go in that ice cream shop and I want Rocky Road. And then there's sometimes I walk in there and I want that caramel stuff. Butter pecans, okay, too. I like a variety. And I think God does too. I think God likes the high church music. I think God likes our worship. I think he likes all kinds of music. I think that's why he created it. And if you think worship has to be one certain style, one certain pattern, you're going to have trouble with heaven. You just are. Because it's all coming together around the throne. Amen? So don't let it worry you that there's all kinds. Listen, there's one way to heaven. His name is Jesus. And if the church is preaching Jesus, heaven's smiling. Amen? John says, they're not one of us. They're trying to protect themselves or Jesus. We're not really sure. And this guy doesn't seem to be authorized by Jesus. And he's a little upset. You know what happened one time in the Old Testament as well? Moses stand at the mountain and the Spirit of God falls. And all the elders of Israel prophesy. And then all of a sudden, right there at the mountain, they're all prophesying in front of Jesus. And then two of them are prophesying in the camp. And everybody's getting upset that they've taken what was here out into the camp. And they ain't liking it. Because it's not the way it started. Numbers chapter 11, listen to it. And a young man ran and told Moses. You always got that tattletale. Eldad and Medad. How would you like that name? Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his choice men, said, "My Lord Moses, stop them." Moses said to them, "Are you jealous for me? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses was being prophetic because of what the heart of God was and what the heart of God wanted for the church. Because on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God came and rested on all of them. When you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God comes and takes up residence in you. Why? Because what God desired from the beginning of time could not happen apart from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And when his blood was shed on the cross, he so purified those who believe, the Holy Spirit could now once take up residence inside of a sinful heart. Because the blood of Jesus has washed us thoroughly. Amen? So there it is. See, the disciples are still operating on an earthly level. They're seeing things through their own perspective. And the disciples had a narrow perspective toward the work of God. It can only come through our hands. It can only come through the Jewish people of Jesus' day had the same problem. Who's Jesus? They didn't want Jesus. They didn't like it. It only come through us. We're the children of Abraham. We're the ones. We're the ones. We're the ones. And when God started doing something in the Gentile community in the book of Acts, all the Jewish believers even had trouble. I'm glad sometimes God smashes our boxes. See, these guys that John sees, don't forget, they're doing ministry in Jesus' name. So Jesus says, do not forbid them. Do not forbid them. Who's not against us is for us. Amen. So there are five things Jesus talks about ministry here, or servanthood in his kingdom, that should be very important to us. Jesus basically says, those who do what I do, don't stop them. You might not like the way they dress. You may not like the way they do it. They might not even have been a part of your crowd. But don't stop them if they're doing what I do. For whoever is not against me is for us. What does that mean? It means this. Ministry is a team sport. I need you, and you need me. And it works that way with everybody. Amen? It's a team sport. Can you imagine when they take the field and only the quarterback shows up? It wouldn't be much of a game. It wouldn't be a team. The church is meant to be a team, the household of faith. Everybody has a part. Amen? The other thing that he teaches here is that service and ministry will have rewards no matter how insignificant it looks. A cup of cold water? A cup of cold water? How insignificant. Unless you're thirsty. Unless you've been traversing through the desert. See, a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus really represents two things. Number one, hospitality. Hospitality. You and I have to be very careful right now in the midst of COVID that we don't lose our sense of hospitality. Now, I don't know about you, but I miss shaking somebody's hand. I don't know about you, but I miss hugging some people. I don't know about you, but I like to see smiles. And I don't get to see many of them because everybody's, listen, little things matter. Even a smile in his name. Little things. I remember one time many years ago, we had children's church going on, and one of the parents got all mad because we were giving rewards to the kids. You know, they'd do something, and we'd give them a blessing of a reward, and they didn't like that. They just thought they should just be doing it just because. And I said, well, we're not going to stop doing rewards. Because it models heaven. You're going to get rewarded. For every cup of cold water. Oh, glory to God. As I said a couple of weeks ago, that means we can all do it. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he didn't say $1 million? Everybody gives $1 million, gets recognized in heaven. How many of you know that's how the world works? The opposite of that is true in the kingdom of God. A cup of cold water gets the attention of heaven. Thank you, Jesus. That display of hospitality, that display of humble service, God keeps a record of it. Acts of faith and obedience have consequences. And you and I need to understand that. It's one of the principles of the kingdom of God. Ministry has rewards, even if it looks insignificant in the world. God is aware of those who extend and carry on the ministry of Jesus. He pays attention to those who are handing out cups of cold water, who are in their prayer closet praying. You think the world's going to recognize that? No. You think any? Why? Because heaven is different. Heaven is different. Praise God. The third thing that Jesus says to his disciples here is this: causing others to sin will have consequences. Causing others to sin. That's why it's expedient that you live righteously before him. Paul put it this way in the epistles: follow me as I follow Christ. And the idea behind that is, I don't know if you've ever played this game or not with your kids, but if you're walking on the beach and you're making footprints and they're supposed to step in your footprints along the beach and they're walking, that's what Paul's talking about. So that every step I take, if you'll step where I stepped, we'll both meet Jesus. We're to walk in such a way, in such a manner, so that there's nothing that I do that hinders your relationship, your target, your purpose, and plan for God. How many of you know the church doesn't always do good? Too many ministers fail. Too many believers mess up. But don't you be one of them. Strive not to be. Well, how do I do that, Pastor Larry? Say it with me. I love Jesus. Amen? In a couple of weeks, we're gonna show some testimonies and some amazing things God's doing. And I would get them up here to get them to testify, but if I let them testify in front of you, the 9 o'clock crowd's going to be mad because they are not going to get to hear it. So we're going to video it, show it at both of them. One of the testimonies is this little thing that I said the other day. I, say it with me, I love Jesus. Y'all be doing that every morning in front of the mirror, in front of anybody you can. And one of the guys was telling somebody that he used to hang out with a long time ago that he didn't know he got saved, but about 6 months ago that guy got saved, and he was telling me about this story that Pastor Larry said about I love Jesus, and lo and behold, he told another friend, and now all of them every morning are sharing the text. I love Jesus. Little things become big things in the kingdom of God. You need to learn to declare your love for Jesus. Amen. Causing others to sin will have consequences. That's why he said you should be serious about your walk. If your hand, if your eye, if your feet, cut it off. It's not worth the trouble. Sin is never worth the trouble. Do I need to remind you of that? Sin is never worth the trouble. Now, here's what I know. The pleasure of sin is for a season. Oh, it feels so good. And then, hammer comes down. The Bible says this, that's what you've done in secret. It's going to be brought to the light. Listen. Learn to live, to walk righteously before God. Amen? Because why? Because people are watching you. Jesus says it this way, it'd be better for you to have a huge, he doesn't say millstone, he says huge millstone thrown around your neck and thrown into the water than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. That's why we have to be serious about sin. It's not sometimes. We know we can repent. We know we have an advocate with the Father, but it's that soul that's following us. It's that little child that's following us. Yeah. We have to be careful. Notice what Jesus says. Man, there's a hell to fear. Where the worm never dies and the fire happens. I'm glad he's not destined us there, but I do know this. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God. And if there's one thing you need to do is learn to repent and live in repentance before God and ask God for the strength of the Holy Spirit to help you walk righteously before him. Amen? It's a team sport. And we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God, and we need one another. We need one another. What he's really saying is this, remove everything that tempts you. Remove it, get rid of it. Because there's a hell. You see, consequences, things have eternal effects. Just as righteousness has great reward, sin has eternal effects. And you and I need to shun the sin. The fourth thing he says to these people is this: keep your saltiness. That's a weird thing, isn't it? But salt is a preservative. If you're living in biblical days, you got to have salt to live. You can't cure the meat. You can't keep things. You can't sustain things without salt. And that's what you are to be. You and I are to be. We are sustainers of morality. We are sustainers of the things and kindness of God. We are sustainers of the love of God. That's what it means to be salty, to be like God in a lot of ways. That means salt has an effect. Amen? How many of you salt your food before you taste it? Don't answer. We like salt. Adds flavor to everything, right? I have a friend who has a problem with high blood pressure, and he's on this no-salt diet, and I feel sorry for him. Saltiness. And the fifth thing he says, be at peace with one another. Listen to how he says this in verse 49. Everyone will be salted with fire. Oh, anybody ever had a trial? You see, trials are not pleasant, but this is one thing trials do. They add things to your life. Matter of fact, Paul will put it this way: the comfort we've received from God helps us comfort others. Oh, sometimes I walk through a trial so that I will have something to say to you for your trial. Because why? It's a team sport. And sometimes God gives me things, has me walk through fire and walk through things I don't even understand and why I'm walking through, and then I meet you where you're walking and where you've been walking. And I understand it better. Because there's something that happens when you walk through fire. Things are added to your life. You're made better. You're made better, or you can be made bitter. And I know this, people who get bitter can't help others along the way. They just infect them with things they don't need to be infected with. That's not going to help them. Salt is good, verse 5. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves. And be at peace with each other. Here's what I believe. Here's what I believe. When you can't be at peace with the people around you, you've probably lost your saltiness. Hey, do you know that person that argues with everybody? Do you know that soul that wants to create chaos and doesn't have peace? I mean, they bring war to the office. They're arguing with everybody. There's no peace around their lives. I mean, they're just arguing with everybody. I don't know about you, but I don't care to be around those kind of people. You know what it is? They've lost their saltiness. It's a good sign for us. Paul says this in Romans: as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all people. Notice what he said: as far as it depends on you. Because some people you can't help. You just can't help. They're going to be mad. They're not going to have peace. But as far as it depends on you, you have peace. And don't let them invade your world with their lack of peace. You see, the peace that God gives us is peace that the world can't understand. Peace that no matter what trial you're walking through, you know he's in control. That he's got me. He's got me. That he's going to take care of me. That no matter what I stamp, he's got me. You know, there's something powerful when you realize God's with me. Through every fiery trial, through every affliction, through every turn, through every, he is with me and he's not going to leave me or forsake me. Why? It's a team sport. He made a promise. You know, it's interesting in Leviticus chapter 3, or chapter 2, verse 13. Listen to what it says. Moreover, you must season every one of your grain offerings with salt. Every one of your grain offerings, which was an act of worship to God, has got to be seasoned with salt. Stand with me, would you? You see, I believe that sometimes our worship helps us be salt. Helps us be at peace with the world. That there's something that happens when you worship God, when you just give him a wave offering of glory and honor that's due his name. Aren't you glad you're a part of the team? Aren't you glad he called you, he made you a part of his team? Glory to God. Yeah, I know it's difficult. I know there's some fiery trials, and I know all this stuff. But listen to me. God's got you. God's got you. Really, what Jesus is doing, there's a call to obedience here from the heart of the Father. Disciples can lose their saltiness in a life of the world. We can just get so enamored by all the junk and all the... It would do us well to pause and give thanks to God, to give praise and glory and honor to him. There's one thing about COVID I don't like. I don't like seeing your faces, and I don't like, you know, not being able to shake your hand. The other thing is I like to hug some people. I like to hug some people. And, you know, now you're just, you can't do that. And I just, unless they give me permission, I've cheated a little. I believe some people here today need a hug from God. And some of you need to let God hug you. Because he's caring for you right now in the midst of your fiery trial. And you don't know the fathom of his care. You can't comprehend the depth of his care. Have faith in him. Have faith in him. Can we worship him right now? Can we just honor him?